CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Second day of the new year in terms of the show. And for many people, there's still another couple of days of holiday ahead. Sure. I like waking up early, I've decided. Finally, after all this time. After all this time of rebelling against it. Now, there's this book that everybody's talking about. It's called The 5 AM Club by a guy called Robin Sharma. Now, I never read these books, and I haven't read this one, so I don't really know that much about the detail of it, but it's been one of the best-selling books of the year. And it's all about how if you wake up really early and you start your day before everyone else, one of those people who wakes up at 5 a.m., your chances of success in life are much, much higher. And he's done the research, apparently, and there's lots of stuff to back up the fact that all the wealthiest people and the people who are the happiest and the people who've done incredible things in their lives, they're all up early. So I've decided, after all this time, 20 years of rebelling against the fact that I had to do a morning show and I'm complaining about it all the time. People going, oh, I'm so sorry you have to wake up early. And me going, yeah, it's really hard. I hate it. It's hard. It's tough, you know. I have friends who can go out during the week. I've now decided, no, I'm not going to moan about that anymore because actually it's a bit of an advantage and I haven't even realized it was an advantage while I was living it. Hmm. So there we go.
I read the book.
Oh, you did?
It
oh, good.
Okay, lost me.
Are you sure?
And
disappointing.
Personally, I think it's kind of just in the same vein of The Secret. You don't read to, right. You don't need to read it to understand it. Just right. Take the principle of wake up earlier, prepare for the day, and then you'll be fine.
Well, something about, hey, let me just say who's here before you just jump in. Yeah. Damon Calvary is here.
Yay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi. Yes. Good morning.
Morning.
How do you get through a whole book mm-hmm. if you don't get it at the beginning? Like, how do you have that what's the word?
The
discipline.
I just get
through a whole book and you don't get the book and you get through. I can't get through an article that I get through the first paragraph and then that's it.
You can't even get through the sentence.
Yes.
I kept on paging through, hoping that, you know, I will have this big massive
Awakening
yeah. that everyone is talking about. You know, epiphany. A book is not a bestseller for no reason. So I thought, no, it's still coming, it's still coming, but it didn't. Because, not to get all deep into the book, but Robin Sharma uses a lot of analogies when he writes.
Yeah.
He doesn't write straight practical things like waking up at 5 a.m. will do this for you. And actually preparing for your day at 4:15 does this for you. And the science says X.
Mm.
He starts off the book using an analogy of a poor man, a rich man. And I'm like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, you see, this is why I don't read these. I hate business books because a lot of the people who've written them are successful business people, so they've got practical experience. But it's their story. Like, their circumstances are so different to anyone else's.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always useful. People read these books because they think it's going to make them rich.
Have you tried to sit down and write something on a serviette in a restaurant like J.K. Rowling?
No.
I mean, we all couldn't, you know? I mean, you try write on a serviette.
All right. Hey? So
for the great inspiration of something. Nah, I don't think so.
By the way, she got into such trouble. We got to talk about that.
Right.
The trance thing.
Trance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Mbulelo's here, Damon's here, Sia's here, and we've got Mfundo who's joined us now. Mfundo,
I just met him.
Well, you
behind
haven't.
Behind the glass.
You haven't actually. You've met Mfundo before. You want to play a game of try to guess where?
Uh-oh.
Mfundo. Where did I meet him?
Not Mfundo, but Mfundo.
Mfundo. Where did I meet Mfundo?
He was at our first birthday party.
Good God.
He's been a super fan for the longest time, and we've decided, what the hell, we prefer people who are enthusiastic to any other kind of people here, and we decided we can give him a job, and he's come up here to intern with us for a little while from Durban.
And, very nice.
Yeah, how's it going, by the way? Are you having fun?
Morning, guys.
Morning. You having fun with this? Are you've been here, what, 3 days, four days?
Did he catch a bus up?
Yeah, how did it work?
I took a bus up, yes.
Okay.
You paid for the bus?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Don't worry about you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear
okay.
you.
Okay,
there we
All
go.
Right, there. That's perfect. So
that's our two-way
this
conversation.
This is a good start for us to be able to hear each other. That's massively
Wow.
Huge.
Wow.
All right, but you've been spending some time with Mbulelo trying to figure out how everything works, right?
Yes, I am. He's been a very good teacher to me.
All right. Well, listen, it's good to have you here. And I'm sorry Damon doesn't remember you.
Damon!
You don't make an impression, man. Obviously.
No, Damon. But that's happened throughout my life. I'll bump into somebody, hello Damon, and they actually get offended that I don't know who they are.
The best answer to that question of do you remember me?
Because is yes.
No, is why have we had sex before?
Oh.
Whether it's a man or a woman or whatever, and it just puts people on the back foot because, you see, they think when they ask you that you're going to be embarrassed to admit that you don't remember. So they're making a whole bunch of assumptions. Someone says to me, I always introduce myself. So I always go, hi, I'm Gareth. And they go, no, I haven't even met before. And then I go, why? Have we had sex before?
That's a great response.
That shuts them up, and then you can start off properly.
I'm scared that I'm going to get caught in a lie.
In a Me Too situation.
I pretend that they know them, and then they start asking questions about talking about things that we did together, and then I don't know my facts. And I get things mixed up. I don't want to do that.
I could get sweaty palms just thinking about it. I'm just like you, Damon.
Yeah.
I've tried every trick in the book. I've tried to use nice to see you as opposed to nice to meet you, because that's a little more vague. Still doesn't work for me. I've tried to use catchphrases like, hey, darling, hey, dude. Nope, still doesn't work. No. I just fess up. I don't remember.
Do you know what? We haven't spoken about the holidays, and yesterday I realized we got stuck.
I thought
you were
going to say something else.
What?
We haven't spoken about the Holocaust. I don't know. Damon. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why.
Jesus, Damon.
Is that weird?
Yeah, it is weird.
That's weird.
That's very bizarre.
Okay, sorry.
You know what we call that? We call that...
dissonance or something.
No. This is an epigenetic thing.
Oh, my God.
It's like you've got a preoccupation.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Ancestors who would have... No, it's been passed down in
the
genes.
Inherited trauma, yeah.
Oh my God, carry on, sorry.
Anyways, the holidays. Before we, Jesus, two words that couldn't be more far apart. Hey everybody, we're going on a Holocaust.
No, it's nice this time of the year.
Yeah,
but Damon, just so you know, a few people have spoken about the Holocaust. I don't want to go on about it.
Just
it has
a few.
It has come up in the last 50 to 60 years. Yeah,
yeah.
There was a giant menorah in New York that was put up over the festive season.
Okay. Well, that's because of Hanukkah.
Yeah, that's all. That's the only Holocaust related.
Well, it's not really related to the Holocaust.
Yeah, and I don't want to go down this topic
anymore.
They
killed us. We won. Let's eat.
I don't want to take this further.
All right, so what did you do over the holidays? Did you go away, or were you here, or what happened?
So, the reason I asked Mfundo about the bus, I caught a bus
down to
Cape Town with my 7-year-old daughter.
Oh, no. Damon.
I deserve the Boabab of Mkhungu Wing. I deserve some kind of award.
The Mapungu
Order of Mapungu Bwe.
Wow. 18 hours in the bus?
Oh, no.
What's wrong with you, Damon?
You know, everything with us is always last minute. And we're looking for a bargain. And you look at the prices of the flights and you think, we can't afford
this. Damon, I can tell
you. Let's catch a bus.
I can tell you right now this isn't worth it. Because the trauma of 18 hours, you say?
18 hours.
You know, that's a flight to Los Angeles.
Hmm.
If you'd stayed at home... saved yourself the trauma of that 18-hour, and you obviously had to get it back as well, right?
No, that's the beauty of it. So getting back, I managed to fly, saw a better deal.
But still, to put yourself through that.
Damn. 18 hours. What time did you leave Johannesburg?
It was supposed to be 6:30 in the evening. It left at like 6:45 in the evening. And I slept from about 10:45 in the evening, woke up at 1:05 in Kimberley, then slept from like 10:45 until 10:45 in the morning. 7-year-old banging my arm. Daddy, look.
Are we
suddenly,
there yet?
No, she, are we there yet? Started a bit later. But she suddenly, it was light and she could see the outside. And wow, look, this is South Africa.
Okay, at least it was fun for her.
No, but yeah, is the thing.
Just you and her?
Yes, okay. The actual bus, beautiful bus, air conditioned.
Yeah, but the air conditioning for 18 hours is going
to
give
you... No, it's the people.
What?
There were these three guys next to us who were either talking among themselves or speaking on their cell phones non-stop. Thank God they got off just before Kimberley. Then another guy, five rows behind us, non-stop on his cell phone. But the drivel he was speaking made it worse. Thank God he got out at Kimberley. And when he got out, I almost said something like good riddance or something. And I thought to myself, let me not jinx it.
Good. No.
Man, let me not jinx it. Maybe if I say something, he'll stay.
Yeah.
Whew. Thank heavens.
No, Damon, you can't take a bus to
Cape Town. Very good experience. I taught my child, listen, this is South Africa. This is a big country. You don't just hop on a plane. You appreciate your holiday. And I think that's what it did.
So you ended up holidaying just the two of you? Or was your wife in Cape Town already?
No, no. I went to my in-laws. My wife's parents are in Cape Town. So it was just, it wasn't like a traditional holiday. It was bring the grandchild to the grandparents for a visit type of thing. Mm-hmm. So we only went to the beach twice. It wasn't your classic orthodox holiday.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of effort to get. I mean, also to Cape Town, you could have caught a much shorter bus trip to like Durban or something. And
The parents live in Cape Town. I can't. They're not going to relocate to Durban for me.
No, but
the whole purpose is to go to
the
grandparents. The
whole purpose is to go to the grandparents in Cape Town.
Can't they come and visit her here?
No, they can't always get away.
Oh, God. All right. Listen, I'm so glad I don't have any of these problems.
Gareth would have wanted a Gautrain train like bus from Centurion to Rosebank and call it a day.
My brother had to go to his in-laws with the kids for Christmas as well. And they had, apparently, they just had this very boring time. So they met halfway. They didn't even go to my sister-in-law's parents' house. They met somewhere in between and they had Christmas there, and it was this.
Oh,
yeah, it was like this this hotel or whatever it was, and he just said it was so. It could have just been any weekend away. It didn't feel like Christmas at all. It was just shit.
And oh, no.
I mean, they both agreed that it was horrible. So these family duties that people have to do. Ugh, please.
But I have a confession to make.
What's that?
I sanitized the story because I'm scared, you know, with all this political correctness, I'm scared to tell the whole story, but I'm going to come out and say it.
Go on.
Those three men next to me were colored men.
Yeah.
Now, I feel the need to say that, not because I care that they're it's the way they talk, that it's loud, this loud colored talking. Is that, am I racist?
No, we had this, it came up yesterday. It's the weirdest thing. Like, some people are just not raised to understand that they're in company.
No, but it's just, but it's the accent and the loudness.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that the loudness is exactly the problem, and it's because they haven't been socialized. Like, this is not a question of cultural difference. Like, it happens all over the world where people are just you're not used to having private space because either you were raised in a family where you all had to share one room or whatever, and therefore you don't have an appreciation for private space. And a lot of people, when they are, they just think about themselves. And it happens also, by the way, this is not a rich or poor thing, because there are a lot of rich people who are raised this way too. They just don't have manners. Their parents don't teach them that when you're in proximity with other people, there's a bubble. You've got a private space bubble that, depending on how much space you can afford in any particular situation, if you're in a queue at Home Affairs, you have a very small bubble. Because there's someone in front of you, someone behind you, there's a lot of people around. You can't expect to take off your shoes, to start talking loudly, to fart. You can't do these things when your bubble's small because it's rude. Mm-hmm. Nobody bothers to teach some of these people. And I'm talking about people with bad manners across the board. Nobody's sat them down and said, now listen, you know, little Tommy or Doris or whatever your name is, this is how you behave around people. So they just don't know because their parents are unable to teach them. They were never given the teaching.
So I did the right thing by not trying to teach them because I was so tempted.
No,
I wanted to teach them.
But it's unfortunate for you that you had to endure this, and lucky in some ways that it was only for, a quarter of the trip.
No,
but
still, Kimberley,
what a pain.
It was like 10 hours in.
No, Kimberley's about
6 hours into the trip until 1 o'clock in the morning.
No, that's a third of the trip. That's what I was saying.
A third, sorry, our maths is very bad.
Oh, goodness.
Wow. No, Damon, listen, Gareth's kind of soft on it. It's it's uncivilized. And Sia called me out yesterday saying I creep him out because I'm a very loud person.
No, you creep up to him. I heard that.
Yeah. So because I'm very loud, so I bring it down when I'm in public. Like I have to bring it all the way down. I'm hypersensitive. I don't care where you're from. If you're not civilized, you're not civilized. But we can't tell people this anymore because everyone's about my rights. Wow.
But here's the other thing.
Everybody's very sensitive.
But also,
take everything personal.
But I felt I was the only person on the bus who felt that way.
What makes you think that?
Because everyone else didn't seem bothered. Like for example, when the one guy got off, I mumbled under my breath, thank God you're gone. Hmm. And the guy next to me shook his head, but disapproving to me that I've been critical.
Because people's default setting has changed away from conflict. And that's good. That is a good thing. Like there's some positive developments to humanity, and one of them is like we don't like conflict the way we were so used to it before. Remember, conflict is the default setting for humanity.
Oh my, it seems like the default is the opposite.
No. The default setting throughout human history for anybody who has survived and bred, in other words, everybody who made you, was that they had to be ready for conflict at any time. Because they wouldn't have survived. So now, the turn is away from that. That's good. But the problem is a lot of people bite their lips, shut their mouths, and therefore, those people who don't know what to do don't have any education along the way. Now, those guys who were talking loudly on their phones and kind of, they were unaware of the fact that they're sharing a space with other people. It's just basically inconsiderate. Forget about, you know, we can use terms like uncivilized, or we could use terms like uneducated or ignorant or whatever, but basically it's just inconsiderate. No one's going to teach them. They're going to have a tough time wherever they go from here on. Life is going to be harder for them because they don't understand this principle of being inconsiderate. It's the same as those people who, these housewives, that smash into you in the shops, or that put their trolley in the way while, because they think their shopping experience shouldn't be interrupted. They're inconsiderate people. It's people who stand in the middle of the escalator when people are trying to go backwards and forwards next to them. It's people who walk slowly. People who drive in the fast lane at 60 kilometers an hour. These are the same group of people. From the housefrouers to these three guys on the bus with you, they're all the same. They're inconsiderate people. They are unaware of what's going on around them. And they don't care. And nobody's ever taken trouble, because everyone's so scared of conflict, to sit them down and go, hey, guys, let me help you with something that is never going to, it's never going to do anything for me again. You're never going to encounter those guys again.
Probably not.
But if you had said to them, hey, listen, let's say that they were open to advice. Probably they weren't. But imagine they were. You could have given them a little bit of advice, a little bit of information, like a Robin Sharma book or something else.
Mm-hmm.
To just help them be more adaptable to society in a way that will benefit them, not to be thought of as being better than or less than or anything else. We've lost the ability to just talk about how we can improve ourselves with regard to each other because we're so scared of conflict.
Well, what I did as well is maybe also like an evolutionary thing. I was protecting my offspring.
Yes.
I was with my 7-year-old daughter. Mm. If I was totally by myself,
you might have been
sure I would have said something.
Well, you also want to set the right example for her. And that's another complicated thing that comes in, because I'm sure that there was a temptation, if you didn't do it, and maybe you did, to say to her, hey, that's, you see that? That's rude. Or that's loud, or that's not what people do. Mm. So she'll grow up knowing more than they did.
Think she had her headphones on the whole time.
Oh, perfect.
Clever. You should have done the same.
Yeah.
Avoided the whole situation.
Perfect.
A pair of headphones.
Smart.
But with the iPad.
I tell you what, it's a deep.
Thank God for iPads.
Thank God indeed. Listen, it's a deeply philosophical point, right? What we don't understand in this time where we call the righteous indignation. So that's my rights, me. We're in this time. And South Africa is very unique in this, you know, everybody wants to have their individual rights. So it is, more people need to hear this, is for individual rights to grow, the society's rights have to shrink. If society's rights, so if you want safety and the things for society, for those to grow, your individual rights have to shrink. But not enough people are going to be willing to hear that because it's brutal. Because when you have to be more civilized, your individual rights go away and going, wah, me, be loud.
But this is the point. Like, if you're in your own car, you can be loud. You can sing along to the music. You can fart. You can drive fast. You can drive slow. If there's no one else on the road, you can do whatever you want. The bigger your bubble is, the more individual rights and freedoms you have. The minute you're in a bus with someone else, you have to, some people, it's not automatic. They haven't learned to shrink that bubble. So they still think they're in their own car. And this is how people, I mean, I see guys like shaving their heads in the basins at the gym. I see people like doing disgusting things in places where they shouldn't be doing them because no one's ever said to them, hey, you want to be in society? You want people to treat you as an equal? Then you got to behave like this because this is how it works. This is the common understanding. This is the like a system of laws. If we go back to the basics, the whole reason we have laws is because we know people's individual rights are going to be bumping into each other the whole time. So we need to have a system where everybody knows, okay, you can't do this, you can do that. You can't do this, you can do that. And that the government, this is one of the few reasons you still need a government, government administers this situation through the courts and says, if there is a disagreement, these are the bodies that will be able to decide the way forward.
It really is a little shocking to me that it isn't common.
But it isn't, Sia. You see, this is the other problem.
And maybe,
like,
yeah.
People like you who were raised by parents who know how to behave and who learned from people around him as a child. This is why I bring up Damon's daughter learning from the example too. But you know, so you just think everybody else. I always have this argument with my dad. He always expects everybody to be like him. I said to him, they're not. People are not like you.
Mm.
The good and the bad, right?
Mm.
So all the things that you think I'm so good at, maybe some of them are shitty things, but you assume everybody else is like you. They're not. They really aren't. Nobody's been sat down and spoken to with care and love. And you know, we got a bunch of people in South Africa who really were raised by wild animals. Like, they might not have had any idea of how the world works, and they've had to figure it out themselves. God bless them for having figured it out themselves. It's hard. Fuck, can you imagine being out there in the world, and there's no one to teach you?
Hmm.
And then all of us sit here, and they listen to this. Now, let's just imagine for a second one of these people who we're speaking of so disparagingly is listening to us now going, jeez, listen to those guys. They think they're so superior.
Mm.
But actually, we've just been fortunate enough, and this is where you know, talk about the word privilege. Like, we've been fortunate enough to figure this out along the way. Maybe it's been teachers, maybe it's been parents, maybe it's been a grandparent. You know, I mean, my grandmother used to, when I was a little kid, she would not let me eat at the table with her unless I had perfect table manners.
Oh, wow.
I had to know to eat properly. And if I didn't use my knife and fork properly, and I didn't do the, if I had my elbows on the table or anything else, I was out of there at like a young age. Now, a lot of people would say, well, that's ridiculous.
Child abuse.
Yeah. But actually, I can go to any dinner with anyone, doesn't matter how important they are, and I know how to behave. And she might have seemed mean to other people, and there were probably times where I thought she was mean for saying to me, you're going to go and eat in the kitchen, you're not eating here with us because you can't eat properly. But actually, it was the right thing to do. And nobody's doing that with anyone anymore. These soft skills, there's a big gap in this country.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to come in and teach young South Africans, and I'm talking again across the board because we've got people who have money who don't have any interest in their children. They spend zero time with them. They're so busy making money and doing things that make them happy that their children are just accessories. And at the other end of the scale, you've got poor people who are working so goddamned hard that they can't spend any time with their children. And there are these people growing up who are learning, you know, maths and science, and they're learning a bit of language, and they're learning a bit of history, and they're learning some computer coding and all kinds of things, but nobody's taught them the soft skills. So they have no idea how to behave. So they talk on their cell phones at top volume. They walk around with no idea of personal space. They got no manners. They'll take off their shoes in a public place, like on an aeroplane. You know, they'll break wind, do whatever they want to do. It's just unbelievable that no one's ever thought of the commercial opportunity of opening up like a soft school for these skills.
Well, funnily enough, that it does happen. My wife was in the CETA thing, and they do soft, they call them soft skill courses.
Yeah.
But I don't know, but it was more maybe business etiquette and that kind of thing, maybe not to the level that you're mentioning.
But, you know, basic things like when you, how to start a conversation with somebody. Some people have never been taught this stuff. They've either never figured it out, or they've figured it out like most of us do, by imitation. They've watched people they respect doing it and then tried to do it themselves. It's weird. It's such a gap. You could charge so much money because there's so many people who need it. So you could charge them each a little bit but make a lot of money. If you just took the trouble to like offer courses on social skills, manners, etiquette, conversation, how to dress, how to write a letter. These are not things they teach you at school anymore.
How to write a letter.
You remember that stuff?
How not to fart on that Mango Airlines, like, that flight back to Cape
Town. Imagine a course on how to behave on a plane.
My daughter says to me loud, everyone could hear, "Daddy, did you just fart?"
And did you?
Yes. Of course you did.
Yeah. Damon.
See, this is the problem with this is the kind of uncivilized
and
person.
I was
on your side till now, Damon.
My goodness.
I said to shh.
By the way, I knew we would get to this point in the conversation.
Oh.
At 6 o'clock, I knew this was going to get.
Let's just craft on the past couple of minutes
exactly.
of a point.
Sometimes it just slips out.
No, it does not.
A fart just slips out. You have no control of your sphincter muscle.
It just slipped out.
You really couldn't.
Your asshole's just always open.
It just slipped out.
How come shit doesn't slip out?
Sometimes it's a gas thing.
No.
No, what you mean
I thought it was benign. I was wrong.
What you mean is, like, you just don't care.
No, I do care.
No, you don't. Don't that
you've
that
done it
is
in
the
front
bottom
of
line.
Us. You've done, you've, there are people like Leanne Moll who won't be in a room with you because she knows you might fart at any time.
No, it's not true.
Damon.
If you read, I've read articles and everybody farts.
We are not
we fart.
Disputing
Some
that.
People, I've never... God forbid, I think he would die of embarrassment. I've never heard Sia break wind in my fucking life.
Perish the thought.
Sia would leave the building, he'd get in his car, he'd drive to the toilets at the China Mall, and he'd go in there and he'd like let off the tiniest fart imaginable, and then he'd get back in his car, wait 10 minutes, come back here, and go, oh, sorry.
With some cologne.
I just had to pop out, because he's like that.
No, you're right.
Everyone has to fart.
So, look, maybe...
Just admit it.
I need to... I do care. I need to do one of those soft skills.
But not Damon. So your coloured brethren there, or you guys are brothers in arms. I mean, you might as well...
Exactly.
You might as well marry them.
This is the nice
Good
thing.
Point.
Like, and I figure this out often when I'm busy trying to imagine, like, I have the answers, and I really don't. But then someone points out something about me where... I haven't sorted out my life, and then I'm like, oh shit, you see, we're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's a good point, and I do think that this person is wrong. This is Riggy Riggs says, Gareth, there's no such thing as a fast lane. If it's 60 and there are three lanes, it is 60 for all lanes. Bull.
What?
No, but that's a silly statement anyway.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Because
right?
there is
no,
no
traffic. Tell us.
Well, there's no road with three lanes where 60 is the speed limit. It's a highway if there's three lanes. What road has three lanes with a speed limit 60?
Mm.
So what a silly statement.
Plus, it is true that if you want to pass people, you go right. If you want to stay in that lane and go at that speed, you stay there or go left, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of learner's license stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. Riggy Riggs, university, you are our first moron of 2020.
Get some soft skills. Think before you send a message.
And Damon is enrolling in that course so you guys can enroll together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, I see that Joe Camino is going to pop in today. You know Joe, right?
Ooh.
You remember Joe Camino, Damon?
I'm the one who found him.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well.
All those years ago.
Take the credit.
Everybody hold on, everyone, give a moment to Damon to take credit.
That's I attended a finance course at my wife's ex-work, and Joe gave the talk, and I thought, hey, this guy could be good on radio.
Joe says it like it is. He called me a while ago, and he was like, yo, let me tell you about what 2020 has in store for people.
Yeah, and he's, trust me, he's not going to be nice. He's going to tell you so much shit. Like, whenever Joe comes in here, I'm a bit depressed about my financial situation. I'm sure everybody is. He's so direct, doesn't mess around. Tells you, if interest rates go up, you are fucked.
Yeah. This is the point that really, like, stopped me in my tracks in this conversation. Mm. He says that almost half of all consumers right now are 3 months or more behind in some of their payments. Almost half of all consumers are behind in their payments. Shucks, that's scary.
That's the other thing. Most people are only two salary slips or two salaries away from being poor, having no money.
Yeah. Well, at least if we're all in that boat, then
We're all on that bus to Cape Town for 18 hours.
We can take a bus.
Shouting very loudly on our cell phones. No, we won't have cell phones.
And just farting whenever we want.
That's right. Hey, you may as well take what you can get. All right, so a couple of things that you need to know in the news this morning. Let's start with a story from ENCA about Robben Island's museum workers.
Oh, they're striking.
Yes. They've embarked on a strike for better wages. They're demanding a 9% salary increase, 2-year wage agreement, and a once-off payment of 2,000 rand. Now, look, these are people who need to sit down with Joe Camino. I mean, I feel sorry for anybody who's not earning what they think is a fair salary, but guess what? Everyone on earth thinks that they're not earning a fair salary.
Thing is, do you know what they earn?
Well, here it says that Nahawu organizer Isaac Makwetu said negotiations with management are deadlocked at the moment. They say that they're not earning enough for the service they provide. It's a national museum, so these guys are paid by the government, which means they're paid for by us. And they say that they should be paid 9% increases. Now, it doesn't matter what they're getting. There is no way that anyone in this country at the moment can take a 9% increase. Nobody in South Africa can get that. The inflation rate's nowhere near that. And even if it was, that doesn't mean that the employer can afford to pay you 9%. So apparently management says they're going to give them 6.5%. That's a good offer. They should take it.
Mm. But isn't that Robben Island Museum like very busy? It's doing okay.
Yeah, well, especially during holiday season, I'm sure it's really busy.
People want to go into Madiba's cell.
Yes, sure.
And feel him.
There's a lot of demand.
And feel him. What?
Well, people, they go in the cell and it's like a spiritual thing. It's a very popular thing to do. Yeah. I haven't done it yet.
I've been there. I've been to the island.
I was stuck with the in-laws in Cape Town.
I spent a night on Robben Island.
Oh, really? Yes.
Mm. We went there on a tour when they just opened the museum. We actually did a show from there the next morning. And we stayed in the house that was the governor's house, because there used to be a governor of Robben Island.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on the one corner, and then the prison's right in the middle. There's a landing strip there where they used to land aircraft. There's a quarry where all the prisoners used to...
Limestone.
...to dig limestone out. And then there's Robert Sobukwe's house, which was totally separate from the prison. And, I mean, if you think the Robben Island story is interesting because of Nelson Mandela and all those political prisoners, it is. But you've got to read the story of Robert Sobukwe. Wow. And that's a story. Anyway, so these guys are demanding more money, and you know what's going to happen here, right? There are two ways this can be resolved. Either the management will budge and give them their 9% and everybody will be back at work, or these guys are going to find themselves in the 30-odd percent of South Africans who are unemployed. And they'll just find new people, too. Because they're bound to be other people who were in the prison who are around who can do the tours. And if not, they'll find people who weren't prisoners.
Well, they do have a bit of leverage because it's not easy to find these guys that were prisoners.
So then don't. Get historians.
Then you lose the authenticity.
Oh, damn, I think they lost that. Yeah, I mean, I did a half marathon around Robben Island. It's become a joke now.
Come on. Anyway, so there we go. That's the first thing you need to know this morning. This is always interesting. Atlantis has got to be one of the worst places in South Africa. It really is a hard place to live. A top cop from Atlantis is under investigation for allegedly sexually harassing a female officer. two female officers have opened a case against him. It's hard enough being a police person in Atlantis, but now if you're a woman there and you're in the police, you also have to deal with the men in the police harassing you sexually. This is like, you know, having a sex pest in your workplace. It's horrible. One of the officers said the man would allegedly send her crude texts asking for nude pictures and sexual favors and would insult her in front of colleagues. She says he wouldn't stop, and she finally opened a case in November last year. And you know, like, if she's saying that, then it must have been going on for a long time.
No, it's terrible.
I don't know how men think they can still get away with this in this day and age, but they clearly do. And then we spoke about this because Leanne lives a road away from where the Melville shooting happened.
No, she said on the road, in the same road.
I was so disappointed in Leanne's story, man. You built it up, and I thought she was going to be on the scene, ducking with bullets flying. Turns out she wasn't even there.
I know. Sorry, Damon. Do you know this is called building a hype? You got to.
Oh, man, it didn't deliver. She was on holiday.
Families.
She didn't even go to the memorial service.
Let's turn our attention to the actual victims here. It's not Damon, who thought the story could have been better, but the families and patrons and owners of Poppy's restaurant, who are still coming to terms with the shooting that took place on New Year's Day. Two people died when the occupants of a black SUV shot randomly at patrons at the restaurant. Such a horrible story. The family of one of the deceased, Liana Peterson, thanked the public for their support. There's been an outpouring of love and support, said a family member. One of the first responders says they tried to help the victims but were unable to resuscitate them. Upon arrival, we found multiple victims that were shot, said Imtiaz Mohammed from HMA High Risk Security. I assisted with CPR and one victim. Paramedics arrived on the scene and we tried to resuscitate. Sadly, they passed away. But the family is thanking everybody for their support.
But Leanne did have a breaking thing that none of the other news services have revealed yet. She said there was an argument between two groups of people beforehand, and then somebody left, and nobody else has reported on that.
No.
Maybe Leanne might have to go witness protection program.
Let's just take the salaciousness.
What should we call it? What would her fictitious name be? Griselda Zelda. And she can go to Funderbell Park.
All right. And then a very sad story from yesterday, too, only because not that the guy had a terrible life or that we didn't have him for long enough. He almost turned 100.
Yeah.
But the great Richard Maponya, who really was an extraordinary man, a great entrepreneur, a pioneer, a man who just, against all odds, managed to build a massively successful business empire during apartheid, when everything was rallied against him, in effect. And this man decided, I know how to make a business. I'm going to do this. He had no advantages whatsoever. In fact, he had every disadvantage in the world. And yet he prevailed. What a winner. What an incredible guy. He died at 99 on Monday afternoon after a short illness. Popularly known as the father of black retail in South Africa, Maponya's business career spanned over half a century. His family says funeral arrangements will be announced in due course, but tributes have been pouring in from all over the place for Richard Maponya, including from the South African government. President Cyril Ramaphosa expressed his condolences to the family of esteemed business leader Dr. Richard Maponya following his passing in the early hours of Monday.
Got to meet him a couple of times.
Correct. You did?
I did. So my father knew him quite well.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah. So, yeah. Great guy.
Great guy. You know, he had a lot to say in the last decade of his life about BEE, which he was completely opposed to. And he said lots about how business works and how people should get their heads around the idea that, you know, you're entitled to absolutely nothing in this world and you've got to build it all yourself. And
how did your father know him?
My dad was in business.
Business guy. Oh.
Yeah, but they've known each other for a long, long time. Since way before.
So you know the family as well?
I don't. I mean, I was too young.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah.
Okay.
And listen, he helped a lot of other entrepreneurs, huh?
No, he's a monster. He's a monster. He's a legacy.
He wanted to start an entrepreneurship college or kind of institution to teach entrepreneurship. But this is the thing.
You can't teach.
And in Ramaphosa, President Ramaphosa has also said we can't all be entrepreneurs.
No.
We can't all be Gareth Cliffs. It just doesn't work.
You can't teach that stuff. Some people do. And also, it's about opportunity. There are lots of brilliant people, way smarter than Richard Maponya and Richard Branson and all of these people. Lots of people are smarter than them, but they just didn't have the timing right, or the opportunity wasn't good, or, you know, they were born in the wrong place, or whatever it might be.
And the chutzpah, Gareth. You got to have that chutzpah.
Well, this guy just didn't give up. Anyway, we're also very sad here to hear about his passing, because although I only met him once, I was always a real admirer of someone who was able to really just think about how apartheid South Africa was. Running a business, even white people trying to run businesses in black areas had to put up with the police telling them the whole time, you can't do this, you can't go here. You know, there were curfews. If you were a white person in a black neighborhood, they were asking you questions. If you were a black person in a white neighborhood, you'd be lucky to get out alive sometimes.
Remember we visited the Maponya Mall?
Yeah.
And your tracker company phoned you. They were worried.
What did they say?
They said, oh my God, your car's in Soweto. Are you okay, Mr. Cliff?
Well, they obviously aren't paying attention, because when we were there in December, they didn't phone.
No.
The Maponya Mall had just opened, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look at that. There is a place that'll continue the legacy. So,
is it obviously, it's doing okay, I assume.
It's doing great.
Oh, yeah. Look,
huge.
It's massive, and I remember noting this on the show at the time when I lived in Soweto, and I would often go there. There are even tour buses who stop there and just walk around the mall. And I don't know what you're exactly expecting to see, but I guess it's for the legacy and who the Maponya family is. But there'd be tours within the mall.
The original shopping center that he first put his first shop in. It's still there. It's still a
couple of streets away from the actual mall. Yeah.
And finally, NASA's planet hunting mission, TESS, has found its first potentially habitable exoplanet, the size of Earth, orbiting a star about 100 light years from Earth, according to the agency. Now, that means that if we could travel at the speed of light, it would still take us 100 years to get there.
Cheapest.
So forget about it.
So why are they bothering to look at it then?
Well, we got to try and find something. I mean, what you could do is put people on there. They could have children, and maybe the grandchildren could get to the planet.
There we go.
And there's Voyager miles.
That's not reliable. What if you have a shit of a kid who is tasked with landing on this new planet?
A lumpen.
And they go, useless video I actually don't gaming. Feel like it.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's a little
because
too far
the first British astronaut who happened to be a woman, just yesterday or the day before, she said they are definitely aliens, and she thinks they've actually arrived already on Earth.
Mm.
So I think she's maybe taken a blow to the head during one of her training exercises, maybe.
No, but over the break, I read that in New York State, in 2019, there was the most UFO sightings than ever before. People are reporting that they see UFOs.
Haven't they just legalized marijuana in New York?
Yeah, and there's social media, so everyone wants to be noticed.
Yeah, it's also weird that the UFOs only seen in America.
Aliens came to me.
Why only in America? Exactly.
I saw the aliens. Yeah. I saw the aliens.
Exactly.
Oh, really? You're so special.
I don't discredit, but look, I hope if there are aliens, they don't come knocking on my door.
Why
just
are they
don't.
Never in my Mahwele ring? Or there's never
because they're witches.
Everybody has their
That's
kind
what the community of Mahwereleng is preoccupied with.
Where's Mahwereleng?
I don't know, but it's provocative.
Oh, okay.
All right. So here's the interesting news if you actually want to know about this planet. The planet's part of a multi-planet system around a small, cool M-dwarf star in the Dorado constellation. It's about 40% of our sun's mass and size, with half the surface temperature. The planet is known as TOI-700D. It's one of three orbiting the star. It's at just the right distance. They call it the Goldilocks zone. Ooh. Not too hot, not too cold.
Okay.
Just the right distance to support liquid water on the surface. in the star's habitable zone. Astronomers confirmed their discovery using NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope, which has got infrared capabilities, and follow-up observations that they've done too. They modeled the planet's potential environment to further investigate its habitability. So who knows? If we could get, you know, four people out there, they could be the Adam and Eves of a whole new world.
Well, it's all about reaching speeds of travel to get to these places. Now, Vladimir Putin, he said the other day that Russia's got this plane that can travel at 27 times the speed of sound.
Sure.
Now, I think he's lying. Huh. I think he's totally lying. I don't think it's possible. I think you'll burn up and explode. I don't know, with technology, we're never ever going to get... What's the point of looking at these things from light years ahead if we can't get there? So what's the point?
Well, you know, as I said, what if six generations of people...
No, some clever geek's got a nice government grant from his university to do all these studies and live the high life.
Well... What if we really do ruin this planet or something terrible happens?
Oh, what if we do? Imagine if that happened.
We're not.
Imagine if we ruined the planet.
Oh, you actually believe climate change is a real thing?
I heard you. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
You really believe this?
I said, what has happened to Gareth? I don't want to say, you said that nobody is welcome on your show.
So don't.
Who believes in climate change?
Yes, well, don't ridicule the idea. Are you a scientist? I'm not. And I'm not prepared to take the word of celebrities and politicians when it comes to figuring these things out. If you're a scientist, I want to learn.
Yeah.
If you're a politician or you're a celebrity, shut the fuck up, like Ricky Gervais said yesterday.
No, but hang on. All I'm saying, a bunch of scientists have said that there's climate change.
There's no unanimity. Let's all stop bullshitting ourselves that every scientist in the world agrees about this. You know how much basic fact, all right? How much of the atmosphere is made up of carbon dioxide?
But the Earth is warming.
Do you know?
No, but
I'll tell you how much.
What?
0.04% of the whole atmosphere is made up of carbon dioxide.
You're not a scientist
either. Sorry, the change is 0.04%.
No, the point is we're not going to sit here, because we're not scientists, so we're not going to sit here and argue about it. The question I ask is, why are you so against, people saying that there's climate change?
All we've had for the last 20 years of my life, I can tell you from Al Gore and even before that, is people telling us how we are screwing up the environment, we're heading towards death, the planetary extinctions are on the rise, there are the greenhouse gases, then it was the ozone layer. You remember this shit from when we were children.
But why isn't, what's wrong with saying that it's true?
Well, it may be true, but I have not investigated satisfactorily to my...
But who are you? You're not a scientist.
I want to know what's going on.
But you're not a scientist.
But I want to understand how cars work. That's why I don't just get into one without understanding some part of it. I want to know how the basic things like, let's say, sea temperature are affected. I want to know how issues around the different levels in the atmosphere might be affected by increases in these gases in percentages. You know, I'm interested in chemistry.
Yeah, but
this stuff matters.
But it's basic stuff like... The glaciers are melting. The polar caps are shrinking. It's just basic stuff.
But it's not true. I mean, Antarctica had record ice this winter. Record ice.
What about that little polar bear that's on a little piece of ice and it's got nowhere to go?
That's the same footage they've been using for 30 years.
That same actor, that same polar bear.
Same old polar bear.
Is it the same polar bear?
Go and find me some new footage and then we'll talk.
What about these polar bears that are going into Siberian villages and hunting for food because there's no food left in their habitats?
How do we know they weren't doing that 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300? Because we didn't have newspapers in Siberia, that's how. We don't know. People talk about weather and they think it's climate. Climate is over hundreds of thousands of years. Weather is something that happened yesterday. Ah, it's so hot. It must be climate change. It's not climate change.
So Australia, like, burning is just a natural 200 thing.
200 people are under investigation for arson.
Yes.
In Australia. Now, if 200 people all coordinated this, let's imagine it's a great conspiracy theory, Australia's got a major problem. The fact that we're trying to blame this on what? On the fact that not enough of us are recycling, we're using too many cars, the cars are farting. What are you going to do about climate change? Let's imagine it's totally real. for a second and let's go with Greta Thunberg and everybody else and say, it is real, it is human, we've caused the problem, now we have to fix it. So where do we begin?
Well, we got, apparently, I don't know if I can do this.
Okay.
Because I don't, you got to stop eating meat completely.
Right.
And you got to go move away from fossil fuels.
Well, we not only have to do that, we have to stop the economies of the world. Everybody has to stop. We have to go with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal. In other words, shut down all industry. Forget about load shedding. We won't have
power. No, but other industries will come up.
No, they won't, because they can't provide the electricity that coal and oil and nuclear provide. And nobody wants nuclear because they say it's dangerous. What if there isn't wind for a couple of days? So we're all going to sit in the dark?
No, but we go.
What if there isn't solar because there's cloud cover for a little while?
Well, we come up with other alternatives. There's batteries and other alternatives.
And do you know how much power batteries consume? And do you know how much mining batteries are going to, for the components inside a battery, we're going to have to do? You want to ruin the earth? Make more batteries. Batteries are probably the most destructive thing in the energy economy.
Maybe with the improvement of technology, they'll come up with ways.
Now we're talking. Now I agree with you. And the ways we're going to do this is by getting to a point where we actually do have a problem. And so far, we don't. More carbon dioxide. You know what it's doing? It's helping the plants. The plants that everybody's such a fan of.
But here's the thing. This is what I want to get back to.
What if plants eat, Damon?
What I want to get back to. Mm-hmm. I sense this intense anger from you about this.
I am so angry.
Why are you so angry about it?
Because I won't be lectured to by politicians and celebrities. And that's all I'm seeing on the news anymore. I'm not hearing from scientists who genuinely want to teach. I'm hearing from people who are telling everybody, you're bad. They're living lives in Hollywood mansions, driving cars, flying jets to their premieres all over the world, private jets with just them and their lover. You tell me that those people have any right to, like Ricky Gervais said yesterday, to tell the rest of us we must cut down on our carbon.
No, but Ricky was only referring to Apple, Amazon, and one of those other, and Disney. If you, I've watched that speech three times now.
He said to this, right at the end, he said, come up here, get your award, do not lecture people.
Yeah, but he was referring to Apple, Disney, and Amazon Prime.
He was talking to the celebrities. Maybe. Because we're all sick to fucking death of them. And what did they do? Not one of them listened to him. Michelle Williams gets up there and she starts talking about abortion. Jennifer Aniston starts talking about the fires in Australia. That's climate change. Who is Jennifer Aniston?
No, but
she's
Gareth,
from Friends.
But Gareth, hang on. This is terrible. Where I don't understand. So what? If it's not climate change, right?
Yeah.
And people are talking about climate change and they want to do something to stop climate change. So why are you so angry about it? It can only be a good thing.
I've never been.
It can only be a good thing.
I don't know why you think I'm angry about it. I get passionate about a lot of things and people mistake it for anger. I get passionate about local politics. I get passionate about science. I get passionate about history. And people go, you're angry about it.
I can't quote you.
Greta Thunberg gets up and says to the UN, how dare you? People go, she's angry.
No, but
and
I
then everybody says, oh, but you're being mean to child.
No, but I subsequently only found out afterwards that she was autistic and she was depressed.
Oh, no,
and this whole activism has actually taken her out of her depression.
Yeah.
So that's a positive.
That's a positive. But
her father said that she wouldn't talk to anybody, only her parents and her sister. Isn't that amazing?
We're all part of a big therapy
group. We're part of a therapy
group. Greta Thunberg. That's lovely.
Isn't that wonderful?
Also, Damon. Besides Greta Thunberg, listen, observation in science, it's called cosmology, right? So the greatest that lives now.
Not cosmetology.
That's
something else.
That's completely
different.
So Damon, stop telling people to not observe the world because it gives you things like understanding of what sound is. Like, we observe light, which is important for a lot of.
There's not enough, and I'm not buying this crap from people who have an agenda, and this is the point.
What's the agenda?
If you figure out what people's real agenda is, when someone says to you they're going to implement a carbon tax, what they're really after is your money, and they want to create laws that you have to abide by. And I'm talking about politicians now. They want to create laws. They want to tax you some more. They want to do all these things to you without your permission. Based on what they're using from science that is convenient for them to use. Talk about an inconvenient truth. And then suddenly your life is governed by a bunch of things that you didn't opt into. Suddenly your freedoms are curtailed by a bunch of people who sit and make laws or who decide that you're going to pay more for everything that you drive, fly, use, don't recycle, consume, eat, whatever these things are. It has a direct impact on your life. Now, I'm not prepared to give up any more to the governments of the world or to a bunch of environmentalists. And remember, a lot of these people who are environmental fanatics, right? These climate change fanatics. These people are not, they don't have a religion very often. Their religion is climate change. And when you talk in any kind of opposition to them, part of the reason I like to talk about this and get people riled up is because the reaction from them is like the reaction of a religious person when you are critical of their faith. They get massively personal about it. You are a climate denier. I mean, there's even, that's like a heretic. You're a heretic. Let's burn him at the stake. Have you noticed that they talk like that?
Well, Greta got upset.
It's no, not just Greta. I'm talking about everybody in that climate movement. And we're going to get people in here who are massive climate change advocates, and I'm going to ask them questions. So I'm not going to ignore them. But I don't believe it is the conspiracy that everybody says it is. I don't believe that we're all going to be dead in 12 years, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says. I think that Earth is actually becoming more and more habitable. There's afforestation rather than deforestation.
Really?
Pollution is on
there's
the decrease.
There's afforestation?
There's afforestation.
Where's afforestation happening?
In the Northern Hemisphere, for example, and in places like China where they're planting forests. Ethiopia just planted something like 2 million trees in the last couple of months. It's happening all over the place.
Yes, but a place the size of Belgium in Australia just got burnt to the ground.
Well, it's because of arsonists. Don't try and blame it on climate change. There's a direct causal link between someone lighting a match and setting it on fire and the fire. Why would you want to blame that on some planetary system?
If we didn't have climate change, those fires would have maybe been extinguished a lot easier. That's
what
I'm saying.
Do you know what grows in Australia? Do you know what kinds of trees grow in Australia?
Stuff that burns.
Eucalyptus. Have you taken a tub of Vicks?
Oh,
smell that stuff. That's pure eucalyptus. Now, that stuff burns. It's a petroleum product, effectively.
Damon, would you go to Jennifer Aniston for your accounting advice?
Probably not.
So why do you listen to these dickheads about science? When you want to hear listen to scientists, Greta Thunberg morons.
No, but these scientists are saying the same thing that
Which
these Hollywood...
Which scientists?
There's articles all the time that I read.
Name one.
Damon, I come from a scientific background. I read about this all the time.
I just want to point out, at this point, I'd like to say that Marcus says... I feel like I'm listening to two idiots debating something they know nothing about.
Exactly. Damon.
You never
ever hear from real scientists. You know why? Real science happens through painstaking observation over hundreds of years.
It never makes
sense. So I'll see articles talking about that quite often.
All right.
But going back to my original thing, what is the harm?
Okay. Have you read...
What is the harm in just taking heed... And trying to cut down on certain activities.
I'm trying.
That's all. Yeah. That's all it is.
If the science is empirical, there is no harm. But right now, then nobody can tell me there's empirical evidence. But empirical evidence is painful.
See, I'm not the only denier.
And it takes time. I'm not denying it. I'm saying I want empirical evidence.
Here's a message from Ali. Listen to this.
Morning, guys. On the point of Damon saying that there's no point in looking at these planets that are 100 light years away because we'll never get there, they must just think about the things that we do today. They were mostly unimaginable just 50, 60 years ago. So if you look at the missions that people are trying to go to Mars, the reason they're not getting there quickly enough is because the technology hasn't caught up yet. So technology eventually catches up to these things. So who knows? Maybe we'll be able to teleport ourselves someday and we'll know where to go with that.
Yeah, okay. And I know that there are people who are working at the moment on pulling carbon dioxide out of the air and turning it into energy. Now, that would be amazing. But you don't hear any of the climate change people doing that. They want to impose laws. They want to carbon tax people. They want to curtail people's freedoms, and they want to curtail businesses because they believe those are the bad people. It's the same people who are globalists, the same people who don't believe in national sovereignty. It's the same people who are against any kind of individual power in the world. It sounds to me like there's a lot of overlap between the people I really don't like politically and the people who are massively for climate change being a thing. And therefore, I'm suspicious of them from the outset.
But you just mentioned global sovereignty.
Yeah. No, globalism. Individual sovereignty.
Okay.
Okay, enough, because Damon, just accept your participation award and fuck off. How dare you?
Oh, really? Who's that?
Who said that?
You want to know who it is? Are you going to go after them? It's from Benica.
Okay.
And then there's a causal link between humans in Ethiopia planting the trees and there being more trees, so we can't accredit that to the planet repairing itself. No. But if humans can do harm, humans can do good. So if you accept the one, you've got to accept the other. The burn is actually good for plants to grow out better. What does that mean? Oh, the burn. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because,
burning.
Because and we used to have a lot of fires. We still do in South Africa. I think, you know, maybe in rural areas more than in urban ones. But what happens afterwards is that the new shoots come out of the grass and the grass is green after a fire because it's had to regrow.
And the insurance
burns off the dead stuff.
And the insurance assessors arrive to look at your burnt out house to see whether... No, I'm not talking about, out or not.
I'm not talking about human dwellings.
I don't think it works like that.
For vegetation. Listen, humans...
The setter sprouts out from the soil and makes his way to the burnt-out dwelling.
You know what George Carlin used to say? The problem isn't the planet. The planet's fine. Don't worry about the planet. It's the humans that are the problem. People are the problem. And if we die out, the planet will be even better off. So he says maybe the whole plan is to get rid of us. The sixth thing you need to know, my house got broken into. Oh, no, this is horrible. What a shitty way to start the year.
Inside job. It's always an inside job.
Ntando says, they broke into my house. They didn't enter the house. They went to my car. They stole all the wheel caps. Each one cost $500. What a way to start the year. Ugh, dude, I'm sorry. Oh, Ntando, that's shitty.
Was the car locked up in the garage?
Oh, by the way, someone wants to... The same guy who fought with you earlier, Riggy Riggs, says 60 or 120 kilometers per hour. It doesn't matter. That's just it. You pass on the right. Correct. It doesn't make it a fast lane. Sorry.
So I can just imagine this Riggy Riggs is one of these people that sits in the middle lane or in the right-hand lane at 60 kilometers an hour.
Yes, douchebag.
Really?
Wants to prove a point.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we'll get into some stories, some news, find out what you want to talk about. All of that is coming up next, 0797482090. CliffCentral.com. It is the 7th of January. Oh, and...
Uh-huh.
Joe Camino is going to come in and tell you why you're in for shit financially for 2020. Get ready. Strap yourself in. Don't expect him to come in here and motivate you or blame climate change.
CliffCentral.com.